I'm Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw today. So a couple of weeks ago, I was setting my DVR ahead for this Sunday night because I'm a big fan of what Adam and Jamie do on the Mythbusters on the Discovery Channel. Watched every episode of that show for the 10-plus years that it's been on the air. And it normally would air at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. But this time around, they're airing at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. And so I set the DVR for that. And I said, well, what's this show that's going to be on at 8 o'clock? And my DVR just said Plane Crash. I said, what is that? Plane Crash? Well, it turns out that it's a show called Curiosity, in which they are going to crash a plane, a Boeing 727, smashing into the ground faster than it should and smashing to bits. And the cameras are rolling for the whole thing. They crashed it on purpose. It's not like something they happen to catch with cell phone video. But it was put together by some folks from right here in St. Louis, a company called Broken Wing, and two of the guys behind this project are in the studio with me this morning. Charlie Berry, who's a Silver Star awardee from the Vietnam War when he flew helicopters in country. And Chip Shanley, who is a naval aviator who used to land on aircraft carriers both day and night, night being the tougher of those, and was actually the guy who was running the remote control for the plane that hit the ground. Guys, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio with me this morning.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Good morning, Paul. We really appreciate it.
I'm really looking forward to seeing this, and I'm just curious. Remember, we're on the radio here, but when you saw the plane actually hit the ground, what went through your mind?
Well, it was actually kind of surreal. It almost seemed in slow motion. My chase pilot and I, Chris Joe Akins, we were originally, the plan called us to peel off and a hard turn away left, but yeah. We got to the side and had a little brief on our own and said, we're following it. So we chased it down, got a little in front of it just in case some frag would have been thrown, and we watched it impact. And you know, after 4 years, it was a relief, but also it was kind of sad because we'd been with that airplane so long.
Yeah. Charlie, who do you have to go to get permission to crash a jet?
Essentially, in this case, we went to Mexico and received that particular country. It was very, very open to us, and they had the perfect spot. They had a dry lake bed, probably the size of Crestwood, and it was absolutely perfect. No vegetation, easy cleanup, can't hurt anybody. You can provide the security. It was absolutely perfect. I went through the Mexican authorities, and absolutely, come on down.
And did their equivalent of the FAA have to warn everybody stay out of the area, and you had to make sure that happened?
Yeah, the DGAC, Director General, I won't attempt the rest. They were fantastic. We went down and briefed in Mexico City, and then they got the Army and firefighting authorities all together. We had them all down there, and they even closed a highway for us, Highway 5, which ran north to south.
Mm-hmm. But just very quickly, they closed the highway. Not before several of the natives had made it into the edge of the highway with the barbecues in the back of their pickup trucks, yep, making on-the-road tacos as they're standing there. Wow, we're going to see a plane crash.
They're tailgating the plane crash.
They tailgated the plane crash. We could not, I don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And one of our pilots did speak. I think it's Mark speaks.
Yes.
He's fluent. And he would ask that. He had conversations with them. But they tailgated the plane crash. It was
That's
really
funny.
It was good humor.
That's funny. So set up the scenario for me. This is you set it up so it's as if it's a regular commercial passenger flight, right?
That's correct. We wanted to approximate as closely as we could what is really the average accident, which is a survivable accident. The scientists wanted three survivability zones. One fatal, one catastrophic, and one what we called walk away, where people could just walk away. So they also didn't want a fire because it would have burned up all the experiments.
And the cameras.
We never guaranteed that. We said we'll do our best.
Uh-huh.
But we did not guarantee there wouldn't be a fire because you just don't know.
Okay.
And then we gave them a specific profile, brought it in, and at about 800 feet on remote, we just went to idle and tried to land flat, wings level, so we wouldn't tear open fuel tanks.
All right, let me just back you up before we get to where you are and you're coming down. How does the plane get up? Did you remote control takeoff?
No, we were on a really tight budget. Real tight.
Yeah.
This wasn't a government project, so we didn't have endless money, and there were no overruns. So we designed it with the least amount of mechanical movements that we could, because every time you move a servo, buy a servo, costs money.
Okay, so are you telling me there were guys in there who had to jump out of the plane?
We had a full crew, and we had each had a jump master with them. What we did, a practice lap. The flight engineer and the first officer, who was also the test conductor, Bill Warlick, Jerry Deary, they went out with their jump masters over the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So for an easy pickup. And then Jim Bob Slocum looped back around, and now he's the only one in the cockpit. And we also wanted to minimize the time no one was in the aircraft, mm-hmm. and we actually got it down to 2.5 minutes. And it was all over the dry lake bed.
Okay, so wait, I'm trying to envision this. Two guys jump out of the plane.
Correct.
One guy's left there in the pilot seat, and he's flying it. And then at a certain point, he puts it on autopilot and walks out of the cabin?
Well, he gave it to me.
Basically, what happens is he's flying the aircraft, and he will, between a pilot and a co-pilot, with the standard conversation is, you've got it, and whoever you're giving it to, I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, once you get that affirmative response, then you take the controls.
Uh-huh.
And Jim Bob would say to Chip, we're at the spot, you've got it.
And Chip was in a completely different plane, said, I got it.
He's in the chase plane behind him with the remote control, and he goes, I've got it. And Jim Bob just take his hands off the controls and sit back.
But then he unbuckles and stands up and walks out of the cockpit.
That's correct.
Yeah, all the way to the back of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the back door off the airplane. And he jumps out. Now, the good thing about Jim Bob is a world-class jumper. Is it the world's record?
Yeah, I think most people at once, mm-hmm. world's record.
So he was on his own.
Okay.
The engineer and the co-pilot both had jump masters with them, and they made tandem jumps out of the bag.
Okay, so he jumps out, and you wait until they land before you then start moving your plane that you're now remote controlling, the 727. You wait till they land, right?
No.
No.
The system was designed to have a lot of safety in it. We had actually two separate systems. Back by the door, there was a red-guarded toggle switch that they flipped. At 4,000 feet, they walked back. At 2,500 feet, and they had altimeters on their wrists.
Yep.
2,500 feet, they flipped that switch, which irrevocably gave it to me,
mm-hmm.
over in the next airplane.
Okay.
At that point, they jumped.
Okay.
And we heard the call over the radio, two good canopies, which so we knew they were okay. But, I mean, we were committed at that point.
Yep.
We had the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So then we just maintained about 1,000 feet per minute. Rate of descent. We had cut a runway into the desert floor, which is earth-moving equipment,
mm-hmm.
and that was our target area. And then we just kept it going about 1,000 feet per minute, and then at 800 feet above that, we chopped engine number 2 to idle, and down she came.
Wow. Did the guys who were parachuting out get to see the crash? That's what I'm curious about here, because you didn't wait for them. Were they on the ground before the plane was?
They made it to the ground, and in fact, when you watch the show, one of the scenes is them looking up and going, oh, wow, it hit, because they see the cloud.
Wow. Wow. All right, so how fast was it going when it hit? And tell us a little bit about the circumstances that happened then.
Okay, we did have some difficulties. We originally were going to chase it with what is called a Turbo Marchetti. It looks like a little fighter plane. Fantastic, high performance, really, really great machine for what we're going to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it broke.
Uh-oh.
Best laid plans. It ran perfectly through every single rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
all week long. The engine didn't miss a beat until that morning.
Yep. And we,
wow.
We lost a fuel pump. Well, we already had two airplanes in the air over the target, our recce bird, and then our secondary chase. We had two chases just in case something like this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Kennedy, who was our chief test pilot, he heard over the radio that we had trouble starting. So he just turned and came back. We swapped out airplanes, took his, and now we're in a 337, a Cessna, and it was quite a bit slower. So we had some difficulty maintaining position, but finally got it all done, decided we could go, and went for it.
And so what speed was the plane moving when it finally came down?
About 122 knots indicated, which is...
Well, that's normal landing speed, isn't it?
About, yes. 140 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
That's a transfer.
So if that's normal landing speed, it's not like it came boom into the ground, is it?
Well, the speed was normal, but the rate of descent at impact was in excess of 1,500 feet per minute.
Ooh.
So that's twice what a carrier landing is. So it was enough, and... you know, I don't want to steal too much thunder from the show, but the aircraft performed like it was supposed to, and it's supposed to shed certain parts, which you'll see Sunday night. I don't want to give it all away, but
yeah,
it performed, and really it's kind of a validation of the industry standard of what's called component-based testing. They just test the pieces because they can't afford to put airplanes out there every time they need to test.
Right.
A seat, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We put it all together. We instrumented the aircraft. It's just jammed full of experiments and measuring devices, high-speed cameras, et cetera, and put it all together into one package, and then put it on a profile for a standard accident and let it go. And so this way, we know exactly what the airplane did going into it. Now you can validate the system by which they test. And also accident investigation. You could backtrack it and see, well, our assumptions correct? And they were. It worked just like everybody has planned.
Talking with Chip Shanley and Charlie Berry, two of the guys from Broken Arrow, the company that put together the show that will air on, I'm sorry, Broken Wing. Broken Wing is the name of the company that put this together that will air on Sunday night on the Discovery Channel. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back and talk some more about the men who crashed a plane on purpose. You're on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in from McGraw, talking with Chip Shanley and Charlie Berry, two of the guys from Broken Wing, the company that put together this special that's going to air on the Discovery Channel, a show called Curiosity. It airs 7 o'clock Central Time this Sunday night. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock Central Time, right after the new Mythbuster season starts at 7 o'clock. And the show will show you an intentional crash of a 727. The 727 coming down at about 140 miles an hour, but instead of dropping vertically at, 10 to 20 feet per minute, it's coming down like 1,500 feet per minute. And Earth and plane meet, and the cameras are rolling. How many cameras are we going to see here?
Probably hundreds. They were all over the ground. We had them in every airplane. We actually had, we lost one of the airplanes due to mechanical, but we had 4 airplanes. There were cameras all over all 4. There were cameras inside of the 727, front to back, even in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
Cameras all over the desert. And then
down the runway on either side.
High speed, slow-mo?
Yes. And then we also had a helicopter airborne with a real good camera on it, too.
Okay, so I don't want to give away the ending of the show at all. I don't know the ending, so I can't give it away.
The plane crashes.
Doesn't come at the end. That happens early on, right? Because after that, there's all this investigative stuff, and you're actually going to tell us where you can be on a plane that's safest, right? Because, you know, I always used to joke when you get on the plane, the people want to sit in the back. They figure, well, we'll hit the mountain last. We're probably going to survive. And I would say, no, we're all going to die. But you discovered otherwise, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, it's... Especially in this case, the further back you were, the better. And we had stress gauges and these gauges that measured impact forces, G-forces.
Mm-hmm.
And without giving away too much, it really, the further aft it came in a millisecond, just a few milliseconds, the impact was cut in half by the time it got to the back of the aircraft.
Okay, so then what does that mean for the pilots? You guys are both guys who served in the military pilots.
Yeah,
they're toast.
It didn't look well.
No.
Yeah.
But Wilson survived.
Wilson survived.
Who's Wilson?
You didn't see Marooned?
Is he the volleyball from Castaway?
Yeah. He was in the middle, wedged in one of the seats.
Uh-huh.
We made sure that Wilson took the ride.
Yeah, Mr. Potato Head did not survive.
No, Mr. Potato Head was in first class, and he lost
it. He's fried.
Yeah.
Literally.
It was toast.
So are there crash test dummies in the passenger seats? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we had two types. We had one type was, I think they were $250,000 a piece. Mm-hmm. They were fully instrumented and with internal fake organs to record the impact. And then we had what we called just sand dummies that we placed in various positions and just to see under the camera how they reacted to the forces.
Was there carry-on luggage that toppled out and fell on people too?
Yeah, and that was one of the surprises. I really thought there was, and I can say this, I guess, since I already have. We loaded them heavy because we assumed they were going to break open and rain down, you know, on people's heads, the dummies' heads. Every one of them held. Every one of them held. It was a surprise.
What are the other things that people should notice tonight, or not tonight, excuse me, Sunday night, is what happens right after Chip cuts power and cuts power of the engines. And I think that would be very heartening to people who actually fly in airlines.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Flo wanted to fly.
She did. And in fact, after impact, two engines were still running.
Wow.
Yeah. Engine number two ran for an hour and 25 minutes.
Did the tray table stay in there fully upright in locked position?
You know, most of them did.
Yeah, most of them. Most of them.
Some of the seats did not.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you want to see this thing, it'll be on the Discovery Channel at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. But if you want to see it on the big screen, you're doing this thing at the Highway 61 Roadhouse on Sunday night. Tell us about that.
Oh, we're just having a little premiere party. We're kind of a local business, just a little local business. Mm-hmm. We decided to have some fun. So
all the boys of Broken Wing will be there?
Well, good. Third of us,
a good third of us,
seven of us that live in St. Louis. So
these are predominantly these are all you know local high schools. The makeup of Broken Wing was primarily the vast majority makeup of Broken Wing are previous military with military experience, which also helps in the production of something like this, where you do need the logistics and you need the organization, and you need people who understand a mission, go out, do it. And then get it. This is my job,
right?
And those with military experience really that helps inordinately. But we've got what we had three from Chaminade,
Vianney, Bills DeBerg.
He
owns the.
So we had a lot of the standard St. Louis question: what high school did you go to?
Sure, yeah.
It's very easy to answer in this group, and seven of us out of the 20.
Webster
came from the St. Louis area.
So if you want to see it with the guys who made it, you can go to Highway 61 Roadhouse. The doors are going to open up at 7 o'clock. There are going to be hors d'oeuvres, and the bar will be open and all that stuff. And after the show airs, you guys will answer some questions from people who are down there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Now, here's my question for you before you go. What do you do next after you fly a 727 into the ground?
Well, we actually
Do you want to tell him?
A couple of projects that are pending.
It's not the International Space Station coming down to Earth.
No.
Well, what happens? Let's see. We followed an airplane.
Yeah.
Transferred the controls to a remote control.
Yeah.
And crashed it.
Yeah.
What's the other thing you can do with an airplane? And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. We'll wait to hear about that. How long did this project take? Years?
4 years.
Yes.
4 years.
I'll
meet you back here 4 years from today, and we'll talk about whatever it is you're working on.
Can I sign that contract right now? I just turned 64. If you guarantee me 68, my golf scores are going to go down.
I can't guarantee your golf score will be 68. That's on you.
That's the front nine.
Charlie Berry and Chip Shanley. Also, I want to thank you guys for your service to our country. Really a pleasure talking to you here, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this on Sunday night.
Well, thank you, Paul.
The show is called Curiosity, the crash of a 727 put together by the guys from Broken Wing right here in St. Louis. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.